The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Del, Lance still there? Where are you?
Yeah, are you? Because Jackie was hoping that you would be gone. He said noted Aggie hater John Granato.
Oh, yeah? I'm sorry. I just hate racism, Jackie. Apparently you don't. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people hate it. Some people embrace it. Some people like to change words to make themselves feel better. And Lance brought it up because he's still in the room. Did you see... There was a sit down between the Chick-fil-A CEO, and Lance tried to put it on him because he wants to ruin the spicy chicken sandwich for me. A rapper and a televangelist, or
a rapper, a televangelist, and a CEO walk into a
and
a
can
bar.
You guess which one decided he wanted to change the term white privilege into white blessing? Which one do you think said that, John? The rapper, the CEO, or the televangelist?
The rapper.
Wrong.
Wrong.
If I told you it was a Chick-fil-A CEO.
The Chick-fil-A CEO.
Wrong.
The televangelist.
Well, yes, that's the final answer. He in a discussion.
Oh, wait, that wasn't a CEO?
No, don't try to ruin Chick-fil-A for me. I already gotten over.
That's what you were talking about.
Oh, my God, you just got Chick-fil-A canceled.
I just saw a guy and I immediately thought.
Blamed it on Chick-fil-A.
I just thought that guy looked like he'd be a Chick-fil-A
guy. They've already come out and said they're more accepting of alternative lifestyles, so I can go there and eat a chicken sandwich without guilt. And you try to put that on him. No, it's the televangelist. His name is Louis. He's one of your people. Giglio. How do you pronounce this, John? Giglio. How would you pronounce that?
Giglio.
Giglio. He says, you should turn it from white privilege to white blessing. He said that the blessing of slavery had built up the framework for the world that white people live in.
What a dumbass. I'm not taking credit. He's got to be Argentinian. You know, he can't be Italian.
Like Messi? Some people might think Messi is an Italian name.
Well, like Pablo Prigioni.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lionel Messi. Pablo Prigioni, Luigi Giglio.
Luigi.
Luigi.
So if you missed that, a minister who let's just say is made a lot, quite a bit of money being a televangelist, or at least a guy who puts his sermons on television.
He might have been one of the ones that's not successful, Del. We don't know that.
Unlikely, considering how many books he's written. Says we should be calling it white blessings. Because we should be pointing out the fact that slavery was a blessing for white people. Get your
really
boy,
was.
John.
It was. It really was a blessing for white people. God, can people be dumber? Is there anyone dumber? Of course. I mean, what is his constituency?
He's based in Atlanta, Atlanta, Georgia. So, I mean, there's a very real possibility that it's a very diverse audience he's talking to, possibly. Not like it's a, well, I don't know. I'm just saying Atlanta's a big city. He's not in a small city anywhere.
It's just a new phrase for Del to play with.
It's mostly white people.
I'm just interested to see what Del does with this against you.
Who's given to televangelists? Old white people.
Ooh, you would be wrong on that one, my friend. That's not true.
My mom loved TBN.
You ever see Joel Osteen's audience?
Yes. No, it's very diverse. You would be wrong about that. You'd be wrong about that. And his number two, is it somebody gray?
I don't know.
I think No. It's much more diverse than that. I think you'd be surprised. And people who give, you'd also be surprised to that one, to televangelists. That's one of the things that I've always thought didn't make a tremendous amount of sense. Like, I remember watching televangelists. Jimmy Swaggart was always in the game, but there was another guy, golly, my friend Michael Bennis found him, and we would watch. It was incredible, like, how funny this guy was. Like, Benny Hinn. I used to record Benny Hinn because it was phenomenal entertainment where he would point. It used to be he would touch you, and, you know, you would collapse and stuff like that. Then he got so brazen that he would, like, sit there like you weren't even looking, and all of a sudden he'd like fling his hand to the right, like bang, and then people would go flying, you know, because the power, the Holy Ghost was in his hand, and he could shoot you with the Holy Ghost lasers mm-hmm. out of his hands. Mm-hmm. It was like, I can't stop watching this. And Benny Hinn's hair was incredible. He had this crazy, like, televangelist flock of seagulls hair that he had. I'd never seen anything like Benny Hinn before, except I had four or five previous times, but Benny was the best at it. It was great TV.
What about the old dude now that has killed the coronavirus? Because it just goes
away. Whatever happened to that guy? I tell you now, Jesus, I will take you, coronavirus, and smash you to the Hades and hell a million pieces. You better get your 19 spikes of coronavirus out of my earth.
Keep hating on Kenneth Copeland. Y'all don't know no better. Keep hating on Kenneth Copeland like that.
You got some.
Kenneth Copeland's making more than everybody, right?
Yeah, he's the wealthiest televangelist in the world.
Oh, he's beating Joel?
He's beating Joel.
Who's got a wetter jumper, though? Joel.
I've never seen Copeland
splash,
shoot a jumper.
Pop, 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 splash.
Do you ever Google Joel Osteen's house?
It's small. Oh. I think it's in the Heights, 1,800 square feet.
It's a little bigger than that.
Not a bungalow?
It's
of those
like 180,000 square feet.
Oh, it's not a quaint bungalow?
No, it's not. It's a little different. It's just a little different than that. Well, holy crap, dude.
Told you, prosperity.
Let's hear from Mr. Louis G. Leal about let's get the entire thing. We can make look, we're only hearing a little bit, or at least reading a little bit. Let's hear the entire thing.
Because I think the other side of it is true with our nation's history. We understand the curse that was slavery. White people do, and we say that was bad, but we miss the blessing of slavery, that it actually built up the framework for the world that white people live in. Yes. And lived in. And so a lot of people call this white privilege, and when you say those two words, it just is like a fuse goes off for a lot of white people, because they don't want somebody telling them to check their privilege. And so I know that you and I both have struggled in these days with, if the phrase is the trip up, let's get over the phrase and let's get down to the heart.
Sure.
Let's get down to what then do you want to call it? And I think maybe a great thing for me is to call it white blessing, that I'm living in the blessing of the curse that happened generationally mm-hmm. that allowed me to grow up in Atlanta. And you know, you're talking about being 57. If you were 57, I can't imagine being that old, Dan, and being 57. But I've said to our church, Lecrae, a few weeks ago, when I was born, the day I was born on Boulevard at Georgia Baptist Hospital in 1958, black people did not have equal rights in this city. Not my grandparents' lifetime or their lifetime, in my lifetime. This is right now mm-hmm. what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm. So now that you've heard the whole thing, mm-hmm. what do you think?
I think he's stupid.
Well, that's one opinion.
I can't believe he said it out loud. And Lecrae's like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I want to be charitable, I get that he's saying that white people have benefited from slavery, certainly. But maybe
it's our blessing?
But don't call it a blessing.
Yeah.
It because people can take the clip and turn it into what it's been turned into. Yeah, you got to find a different terminology.
Somebody told me, be careful giving away where you're going to go to feed people, or Karen will get you. And it's an ordinance about related to feeding those in need. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'm not going. I won't do anything.
Karen's not going to do anything to you. You're not that susceptible to Karens.
No, my daughter goes to, for her birthday, she went to Fishes and Loaves to go feed the homeless. That's what she wanted to do. Now, that's when that was open up. It's not open now. That was for her birthday in December, but I don't think they can be open now. But I'm like, man, she's just different. At least she's going to be snitching on everybody. At least she's staying true to it.
I feel like she's perfect for being a nun. Mm-hmm. She's going to just tell everybody's business.
She could be a televangelist.
You think Maddie's got that in her?
Nah, I don't think she has. I don't think she has that part in her. Like I said, I still have her pegged for. She wants to be an actress, and also an Olympic swimmer and a nun.
She's gonna get to Hollywood and go.
Acting nun.
Like I said, she could maybe be one of the kids if they cast one of the kids for Handmaids. I feel like she gets it all in on once one
shot.
Well,
we have had actress swimmers, Esther Williams. We did have Sally Field, the flying nun.
Yeah, you had Vanity. We had somebody in music become Denise, not Williams. She's passed away, but Vanity, Prince's old girlfriend, became a big evangelist. You can
she
go
did.
Both ways. You can do it. I didn't mean it like that, Dell.
Well, yeah, you said it, not me.
I didn't mean it like that with one of Prince's girls. I have to hang out here for the rest of the show because we just never know when John's power. They've already cut his water off. They're trying to smoke all the people out of the and the task force is there trying to get rid of all those people. So they turn their water off in John's high rise, and we don't know what's next, John. The gas
no,
can
we
be
don't.
Turned off.
Well, I do know what's next. John, what if you had an issue with pest?
Well, if I had an issue with pests in this building, and I should tell them, McGrath Pest Control, okay? When we had the house, we had McGrath Pest Control, and they were spectacular. Hawaii used to come to the house, and I always knew. And it doesn't smell. And he's so conscientious. I've told the story about Scott McGrath. My buddy's bar could never get rid of the roaches, and Scott McGrath came along and said, "Oh, we'll get rid of them," and he did. And he made a huge, huge difference in my buddy's life. Well, right now, you want to gear up against fleas, termites, and mosquitoes, and with the rain come ants, and it's rainy season. Save your home from termites. Save your family from mosquitoes. If you think you might have termites, man, you got to act now because they will destroy your home. And this is everything you – and once you got termites, man, they ain't easy to get rid of, but Scott McGrath can. And mosquitoes, he's got the mosquito murdering system. You're going to be outside, sitting outside, and if you're going to get bitten up, you ain't going to be outside for long. So let Scott McGrath come and McGrath Pest Control kill those termites, mosquitoes, ants, roaches, fleas, spiders, bed bugs. They can install exclusions. Keep rodents out too. 281-469-8240. 281-469-8240. McGrathPestControl.com. That's McGrathPestControl.com.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, I got a question for you guys, because I'm looking at, and this is an interesting question. Here's an interesting question. What NFL backfield do you want to have? I'll name a few of them, and you tell me. San Francisco, Mostert, Tevin Coleman, Jeff Wilson, Jerick McKinnon. Cleveland, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Dontrell Hilliard, Dearness Johnson. Baltimore Ravens, Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, and Gus Edwards. I really like the backups in that backfield, if you want to know the truth. Denver, Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, Kalfani Muhammad. Minnesota, Dalvin Cook, Madison, Boone, Abdullah, Kamara, Murray, Washington, Jones, or Saquon, and Deion, Lewis, Wayne Gallman, Elijah Penny. Of all of them, which one would you want to have? I can keep going.
I actually think I'd say Cleveland because I don't want to have four. I want two to I care about two, and Kareem Hunt and Chubb can both play on three downs. That's my squad. I'll take the top two guys. Although, isn't it amazing how deep some of these teams are at running back? Holy crap.
The Ravens have – listen.
Ravens are loaded.
Justice Hill hasn't really gotten – Justice Hill is a good running back. J.K. Dobbins now, you add that to Mark Ingram. When Mark Ingram is your starter and you're like, well, you know, that's good. I mean, he had himself a really nice year. That's all fine and good. But when it's J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill too, that's totally sweet. And oh, by the way, Philip Lindsay backing up with Royce Freeman, with Melvin Gordon as well. That ain't too bad.
No,
Denver's got a nice backfield. Where do you?
I would say, like I said, Cleveland is mine because your backfield is only as, like your backfield is as talented as your top two guys. Typically, your third's not going to factor in very often. The deepest of those was Baltimore, but San Francisco's, you know, Jerick McKinnon is a talented running back.
Mm-hmm.
He missed all last year. He's back. That's Tevin Coleman to me is almost like Tevin Coleman's just has a luxury contract. Or I guess you could say that about Jerick McKinnon as well, but.
McKinnon they paid a lot of money to.
Yeah, I know. That's why it may be a luxury contract now.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. Those zone teams, Kyle Shanahan just got a 6-year deal.
Yep.
Those teams who run outside zone, one thing we've learned over the years, whether it's Arian Foster or Terrell Davis or Orlandis Gary or Raheem Mostert, or, you know, you can find players to run in the outside zone scheme. That's why it's kind of crazy to me that they ever paid money like they did for Jerick McKinnon, who's a good player, but. Why? Why pay more than $4 million for a running back?
Well, you notice that not even mentioned in this is the Panthers with McCaffrey, the Jets with Le'Veon Bell, the Titans with Derrick Henry, the Raiders with Josh Jacobs, because really those teams don't have depth. Now, they have. I think those are the most outstanding running backs, and maybe not Le'Veon, but those are the most outstanding running backs in the game, but because they don't have depth, God forbid anything happens. Well, I ain't putting Kansas City with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Damian Williams, and Darrell Williams out of the mix either. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be great.
Yeah, I do too, but he's still a rookie. And really, let's remember now, LSU guys are kind of interesting. He's talented. I really don't see any reason why he won't be a good player. He's a one-year wonder. Joe Burrow's a one-year wonder. It's kind of rare if you think about it. 2 1-year wonders, one goes first and one goes last in the first round. But they're both first year. They really had big years 1 year. Now, I remember being on the field at Texas game at LSU, and I was watching running backs come out of the backfield and catch the ball in pregame. And, like, 22 looked different. He looked I was there, and I thought, oh, there's Leonard Fournette's younger brother. It's his younger brother, right? Fournette there, his younger brother?
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, oh, that's the guy to watch. And 22, I'm like, man, 22's got the juice. Fournette looks kind of pedestrian next to 22. Yeah. This 22 is kind of a big deal. I mean, he looks really, really good. And then you watch him in the game, it's like, holy crap, 22 can play.
Fournette didn't even back him up. He was third. No.
But that was my thought going into the second game of the year. I'm thinking, well, this is going to be the guy. Fournette's brother's probably going to be the guy. Nope.
Tampa's considered to have the worst backfield. Ronald Jones, Keyshawn Vaughn, Dare Ogunbowale.
Yeah, that's right. That's probably correct. I'm not a Keyshawn Vaughn guy either.
Philadelphia, next to last, Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Corey Clement. Bears, David Montgomery, Tariq Cohen.
I don't like the Steelers.
I'm disappointed in Tariq Cohen. He should be more.
Well,
he came out and said
that he didn't approach last year very well, said he came in out of shape. So,
who, Cohen said that?
Yeah, so he was. He feels what you felt, John, that he should have been better. He admitted to not being in the best of shape last year.
Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds, Eno Benjamin for Arizona is next, and then Miami, Jordan Howard, Matt Breida, Kalen Ballage, Miles Gaskin. That's not a bad backfield.
Oh, Kalen Ballage is a scrub. Was not good last year. But the Breida Howard thing, as long as Howard can stay healthy,
mm-hmm.
I like that mix. I think they're both making 4 point whatever.
It's kind of underrated. I don't know. I'm not in love with Green Bay. Aaron Jones, and who did they just add? They didn't trust Aaron Jones as much, so I think they just added
Did they add? Oh, I forgot who it was, but it's a guy people are like, why are you adding him? You're just going to take carries away from Aaron Jones. But
A.J. Dillon?
Yeah, they drafted a big back.
Yeah. It's almost like they're going to a different offense because Dillon's going to have to be a zone scheme. He's like a big – he has bruising size, but he doesn't run like a bruiser. He's more of a zone scheme guy. So that didn't make a lot of sense unless they are going to move away from Aaron Rodgers' offense, which I would also say the drafting of Jordan Love tells you that that's probably going to be the case. You look at the Texans, I mean, I like Duke fine. I don't see him as a full-time back. No one ever has seen him as that. And David Johnson has been a full-time back, but not in a while. Karon Higdon is a guy that I would keep your eye on this year. I think Karon Higdon is going to make this team, John.
Yep. I think Karon Higdon can actually make an impact.
I think there's a chance that if David Johnson can't stay healthy that you could see. Now, he's not a big guy. He runs like a big guy, but he's only like 5'9". He's listed at 5'10", 202. That's not a big running back, but he plays like a big running back.
Thick.
But I could see a scenario where if David Johnson stinks or gets hurt, that Karon Higdon could be the guy getting full-time carries with Duke Johnson or splitting the carries with Duke Johnson.
They've got the Texans backfield ranked 21st. Right behind Detroit, who I don't think they're giving enough credit for DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, that's too low for Kerryon Johnson. Those are two competitive running backs.
Bo Scarborough and Ty Johnson as well. So,
yeah, I think they deserve to be a little higher with Swift's a rookie too, but it doesn't sound like they're giving a whole lot of value to rookies when you look at Edwards-Helaire and DeAndre Swift. But Swift and Kerryon Johnson, man, I think that's got a chance to be a really
especially on that
1-2
on that turf.
Yeah, I think it's got enough. I think they can be an effective 1-2. Scarborough's a banger. We'll see if he can, make the team. And Jason Huntley is that's a kid from New Mexico State. Yeah, he's a wee lad.
It'll be interesting to see too if the Colts. We know Marlon Mack what he can do, but Jonathan Taylor added to that mix.
Yeah, so the Colts could actually have one of the scary, dangerous running attacks too, which is not good for the Texans with Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack and Jordan Wilkins and
Naeem Hines.
They got a lot of different types of running backs. I could see them really going bully ball, even though they have Phillip Rivers. The fact is, Rivers needs to be a game manager now. He should not be a guy who throws it a ton.
Nope. 10:30 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. I got to tell you right now about American Shaman, the CBD. And I got to tell you, I really feel good. I really, really do. It is really amazing. And this is just me. And, I'm not making any claims. I'm not telling you that this is – hey, I just know from my own experience. I've been taking it morning and night. And I am sleeping better. It helps relieve everyday. I actually, and this is the truth, I've been playing better golf because you are less anxious. And when you're standing over that putt for whatever amount of money, you become anxious. And I'm less anxious now. And, oh, by the way, I've got a bad back, and it helps with your inflammatory response associated with exercise. Calm, relaxation, positive, healthy mood, quality sleep. Healthy joint function, natural sleep, a healthy immune system as well. And here's the deal, too, is that if for any of you veterans out there, if you've got a dog and the 4th of July is coming up and if fireworks are stressful, stop by CBD, American Shaman. CBD supports a healthy response to stress and promotes calmness and relaxation, too. CBD oil is not FDA approved, so specific claims. I'm not giving you any specific claims. I'm telling you what this means to me. It's the best of nature enhanced by science. And I really, really, I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying how I feel using the CBD oil from American Shaman. Visit shopcbdtx.com. Shopcbdtx.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
So, There's a couple of different articles on Mike Gundy's T-shirts. And one of them says it wasn't about the T-shirt, okay? It's about knowing what our coaches are all about. And then there's another article by Clay Travis that says, all right, can we stop being a bunch of babies? I don't give a rat's ass what Mike Gundy says. Is he a good coach? Do we win football games? And you know, can we stop with, because he's wearing a T-shirt, we're going to cancel him, or we're going to call him out, or we're going to do all of these things? And here's the deal is that when we were growing up, man, the coach was the boss, right? I mean, the coach said it, and you did it, and that's all there was to it. And there was no, if you question the coach, go sit your ass or get off this team or get off my field or whatever it is. You never question the coach. The coaches, and maybe it's probably a good thing, but coaches' authority, that's authority in general, I guess, in 2020. But coaches' authority now, non-existent. Go ahead and say something wrong, coach. Gundy was accused of saying, Del, I'll send you back to the hood?
By players, ex-players.
Right.
Back to the hood, back to South Dallas, things like that, by players who were on his team.
Wait a minute, is South Dallas a bad place to be?
It was two different instances. One guy got the hood, the other guy South Dallas. Justice Hill, who we talked about as being part of one of the deeper backfields in the NFL, former Oklahoma State player. When Chuba Hubbard, the current running back there, tweeted what he said, Justice Hill was right there with him saying, I got you, I'm there. So to that first article you mentioned, probably more about the shirt. And Clay Travis, I mean, I have my problems with him overall, but the Clay Travis point of view was you could just predict what he was going to say about this, because that's where he falls on this particular type of stuff. But I think it's more than a shirt, and the shirt was just Gundy allowing this particular topic to become a thing, because I don't know if he's not bright enough to know that wearing that shirt might cause an issue, or he's just a man wearing a shirt, and maybe he shouldn't be questioned about that.
Well, right. And, oh, by the way, there's two, my coach's politics. But today, it's different today. Do you want to play for a coach that's not inclusive, that's not accepting, especially, I guess because of Trump, if you're a Republican now, all of a sudden you're racist.
Well,
I can't watch what new, I don't know. I've never watched OAN. I have no idea. But is it a spouse hatred? I don't know.
It is the farthest of the right you can go in terms of actual news networks. Even Fox News looks at them and go, you guys need to calm down.
So if you're conservative economically, then you're racist, or what?
I don't think you – see, the problem is if you're conservative, I would be insulted that you're calling that – not you particularly, but if someone deemed that network a conservative network, I'd be insulted as a conservative, because it's not about a conservative thing. It's about, hey, everything on the left is terrible. Anything that the left supports is awful. It's not a conservative news network. It's a far right news network. And maybe people think MSNBC is the far left, but I'm not a conservative. But if I was one, I'd be like, hey, don't call me that. You're insulting me. At least from what I've seen from that network.
I think we speak for all conservatives. You don't like that, Del? You don't like when people speak for every – one person claims to speak for every group?
No. It's – I hate it.
That's what happens. That's our world.
That guy tried to do that to Del when we were kind of clowning the old school Masters thing. Like, that's – you're being a racist. I think I speak for all black people. Del's like, excuse me, you don't speak for me.
I can't stand when people – because you can't condense a whole group of people into one thought and one viewpoint. Everyone's unique, and they're going to have different ways of thinking about things. So, yes, I hate it when people talk about, I'm speaking for you. No, you're not. You're speaking for you. And leave it at that.
Do you know – doesn't Stephen A. speak for you?
No. I just – no.
Why are you playing this game?
He does not.
It's a dangerous game you're playing.
I'm asking him a question.
Stephen A. speaks for himself, and that should be where it ends. And he's certainly a representative of ESPN, and maybe you take it a little step farther. But that's all he speaks for. He doesn't speak for me.
No.
He doesn't speak for anyone.
I mean,
he speaks
for himself.
Well, it's funny. Any racial issue, you know who, they go right to Stephen A.
Now, so, I will say Ian Rappaport speaks for me. That is true.
Ed Werder speaks for me.
Ian Rappaport speaks for me. Ed Werder speaks for you?
Ed Werder.
If I had to, no, if I had to say one person speaks, I'll let Matt Moneysmith speak for me. He mostly does it on local radio in California, in Los Angeles. I would let Adam Schefter speak for me, but he's ESPN, so I can't.
Would you let anyone from Pro Football Focus speak for you?
No.
No.
Because I'm a numbers guy. And they're,
I like
Sal they Palantonio's, claim to be numbers guy, but I'm an actual. Oh, Sal Palantonio does speak for you.
He speaks for me.
Yep. Jane Slater speaks for me.
Jane Slater speaks for you?
That's
Whoa.
Right. She's from Texas. She's from NFL Network. I am James Slater.
I'm trying to think who speaks for me.
James Spader speaks
no,
for you?
No, Jane Slater.
Bubba Wallace speaks for you.
No, he doesn't.
Bubba Wallace does speak for
he
you.
He does. See, this is see white people.
Bubba Watson speaks for him. For John.
Does Bubba... I thought...
Hello, Francesco Molinari.
Molinari does speak for you. Yeah.
I thought Xander Schauffele, whatever his name is, spoke
Daniel
for
Daniel Jeremiah speaks
we don't
for
know.
Me.
We're not sure where he's coming from.
Because I know Daniel... Although Daniel Jeremiah did get that smoke the other day, he compared Fields... I always want to call him Josh Fields.
Justin.
Justin Fields with Dak Prescott. Mm. And all of a sudden, he's like, excuse me, white draft Twitter had to come after him. I'm sorry, excuse me?
The liberal draft Twitter had to come after
liberal,
him?
White liberal draft Twitter had to come after Daniel Jeremiah. I would like, I'm trying to understand, help me understand. Anytime you see help me understand, there's no one who wants to understand anything.
They certainly don't want your help either.
They don't want your help. Help me understand where you see a correlation between Fields and Prescott and Daniel's
life. Jeremiah should have been like, oh, they're both light-skinned.
Is that the answer?
Yeah. That's what he should have said. Cut everybody
could have said that.
Cut everyone off at the knees.
Bucky Brooks could have stepped in. Excuse me, let me handle this.
Yeah, they're both light-skinned. That's what I saw. Okay, is that what you wanted from me? I gave it to you.
He's like, no, the way they move, the way they can move outside the pocket, their arm, the way they throw, yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's not a bad, whenever I saw it, I will tell you, I texted him. I said, while I do think this is a pretty good comparison, I would like to personally, I texted as one of my editors. I said, I would like for you to go ahead and maybe consider changing this to Ben Roethlisberger or Andrew Luck. Thank you. And I sent it, and he put LOL, ha, 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 good one. And then... 2 days later, it wasn't LOL, ha, ha, ha anymore.
Caught that smoke.
It was like, man, you should have seen. Yeah, I know. You don't have to tell me. I have to do player comps for a living. I got to put player comps out there. Well, you be careful on that player comp game now. It's hot in the draft streets.
DJ acting brand new. He don't know what it's about, apparently.
What is this? I didn't know this was a thing. Yes, man, this has been a thing for like 4 years now.
Apparently,
what's wrong with you?
Apparently Alfonso Ribeiro speaks for you.
What did what did Carlton say? Someone make that joke?
It's got to be Art.
That's what Dream Shake says.
No, he doesn't. Well, we know who Dream Shake speaks for. If we could remove KD from his mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh. KD's weak D?
Look, I don't know about KD's game, but I'm just saying we know who Dream Shake speaks for. KD... He been caping for KD forever.
Bad. Dustin said Nick Wright speaks for you.
Nick Wright.
For me?
Nick
no,
Wright
for me.
Said he speaks for you, Del?
Nick Wright never said he spoke for me.
Okay.
I don't know. I won't allow Nick Wright to speak for me because he has that new hair. If he still had the Caesar, I'd let him speak for me.
Oh, he's gone on.
But he's got the new hair, so he can't speak for me.
So I feel like he got a little nervous about an appropriation comment somebody may have made. But he just had his hair cut short.
Yeah, do you think now that he's on Fox, he's like, I gotta.
Oh, you thought he had to try to broaden out?
Yeah, broaden out a little bit more.
Elfrodo says, so I wear a Spicy Board t-shirt. Does that mean Raheel speaks for me? Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. You speak for Raheel one way or the other.
It does. I gotta see if there's something I didn't get to.
I speak for Raheel.
Oof, I don't think he'd want you to.
I think he does. I think he asked me to speak for him now. He asked me to take a break. 1044 ESPN 97.5. News of the weird. See, I'm speaking for Raheel.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
So I'm officially no longer going to fly if this happens. Did you see this?
No.
Alcohol sales may have boomed during the lockdown, but our return to air travel will be an altogether more sobering experience. Airlines including EasyJet, KLM in Europe, Delta Airlines and American Airlines in the United States, and Asia's Virgin Australia are suspending all or part of their alcoholic drinks service in response to COVID-19. Now we've gone too far. We've gone way too far.
Are you allowed to bring, like, for a place that sells alcohol, once you get beyond the check and you're in the near the gate, can you bring that alcohol onto a plane? Like if you stop at, I don't know, Chili's.
Yeah, right.
Can you bring their alcohol onto a plane or no?
Well, they say they ban the sales. So can you grab a few beers from the bar and bring them onto the plane?
Yeah, that would be how you would work around
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Del.
Yeah.
Thanks, Del.
I'm just trying to help you out.
You figured it out in no time.
Yeah. Do those bars sell them in can, or is it always like in a cup? How do you, or a bottle form? How does that work? Because I've never obviously bought.
A lot of times the plastic cups.
Yeah, so that makes it more difficult.
Yeah. No, that's going to make it impossible. And then they'll.
Oh, John's gone. It finally happened. We're about 5 minutes away from getting through the show, and now John either dropped because of normal issues or because of power issues. So that's the end of news of the weird, because that's his deal. I guess I'll move on to a couple things as we kind of wrap up, and hopefully we get John back on the show. Let's see. Now, kind of to wrap up some of the things we've talked about today, Chuba Hubbard and Mike Gundy. They had their back and forth on Twitter. Mike Gundy, we talked about the shirt last segment. Well, Chuba Hubbard, his star running back, responded with the tweet. Those two had a bit of a meeting, shook hands, did about a 45-second thing on Twitter where they're in it together. And I would say Chuba looked like, man, I don't want to do this. He had his arms crossed at one point, I believe. But Chuba and Mike seem to be okay. We'll see how that goes, because multiple Oklahoma State players took issue with Mike Gundy after he wore the shirt. So he's just another college coach who stepped in it, and we'll see how he rectifies the situation. John went on his Rob Manfred thing, and rightfully so. The baseball season at one point looked like it was going to happen, even if it only was 50 games. And we heard a report from John Heyman. He tweeted out that he heard that it would be about 55 games. That's not the case. At least right now, Rob Manfred says he's not so confident that there will be a baseball season. And Trevor Bauer took to Twitter to respond to that. Trevor Bauer had this long breakdown of why Rob Manfred was delaying the season. So if you missed it, some of the tweets from Trevor Bauer yesterday was, so Rob, explain to us how you can be 100% sure that there's going to be baseball, but not confident there will be baseball at the same time. What changed between those statements? Players told you to set the season, but it's too early to set the season right now. Isn't it, Rob? Because then you'd have to explain why you're only going to impose 50 games when we could easily play 70-plus right now. The tactic is to bluff with no season again and delay another 2 to 3 weeks until you clear the risk of not negotiating in good faith. And it went on and on. I think it's about, I don't know, an 8-tweet thing. Yeah, AJ, John dropped. So we've got about 2 minutes to go. So we're about to wrap up the show. AJ's going to fill in for a little bit. Maybe even Lance. Lance is back. Lance, welcome back to Lance as we wrap up the show. I don't know what happened to John Lance. I don't know if it was power.
Did he go down?
Yeah, about 2 minutes ago. So I was just wrapping up some of the topics on the show.
Okay, that's good. I've got one for you that we never got to, that's a legit football topic. So did you see that the NFL, I did not know this. We've fretted quite a bit about how our players are going to be able to get deals done next year when that, you know, when the when the football revenue goes down and they have a percentage. But did you see that they said they're going to be taking from future years and putting it towards 2021 or the next season when they're supposed to get hit? They're going to be borrowing from future cap years.
I didn't see that at all.
Yeah, I didn't know that they could do that.
Neither did I. So what does that mean for the league and the players?
Well, I think that means they can alter the cap numbers. So in other words, they can say, look, these are the years where we know our TV revenue is supposed to go up. We are fully anticipating a vaccine. We're fully anticipating life getting back to a version of normal or whatever. So we're going to take some of our expected cap number there, borrow that, and put it towards this year so that players, so that deals can be done and contracts can be given out. Because if not, I don't know how you give out any contracts.
Yeah, you talked about that as this was building and how things were going to work. How, what would free agency look like if the TV deal was going to be so crippling that money couldn't be spent? And that's the thing in basketball. People were pointing out, well, if this really hurts and say there's no season or it dramatically reduces the salary cap, how does Giannis move on if he wants to move on? Or how do all the big-name free agents from 2021, do they stay? Because they're going to be losing way too much money to leave their current team, because you can sign a guy.
How's going to work with basketball? Because I know football is going to be borrowing against that. Is basketball going to do that? Because the BRI is definitely going lower. I mean, I guess you can say, all right, we're signing you to a $40 million deal. However, you have $40 million on the books, but it's going to be prorated down to this amount because of the BRI.
It is. It may be. Now, everyone wants this. Well, most people want this season to take place because it means that you don't rip up the CBA for next year. But if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, and you certainly have a shot to win a title, but if you're seriously, your goal is to keep Giannis long term, a work stoppage would actually benefit you in keeping him, because he can't make the same money and you can keep him. But I imagine basketball seems to be able to figure everything out. Certainly they don't have the type of strife that that Major League Baseball does. So I think they'll play and they'll figure out something. Maybe they'll, I don't know if amnesty is the right word, but there'll be a cap, but there'll also be some room to move, to sign guys, just because you kind of want free agency to still be a thing in the NBA. I just wonder how it'll work. If they can get through this season and then start next season, and maybe in December, maybe the 25th, whatever they do it, will basketball be hit the same way maybe the NFL is trying to avoid that type of hit?
See, not for some reason. I know exactly the reason. And granted, they have to play more games in the NBA than they do in the NFL in terms of each game. I feel more concerned. I know a lot of people may not feel this way. I'm less concerned about basketball, who has a very small window of games they have to complete, and then the playoffs. But they've been preparing for all this, and they have a plan, and they are going to try to create their own little bubble. I feel less, I don't know how you feel on this, but college football really concerns me a lot about whether or not college football is going to be able to go.
A lot more players, a lot more teams, nothing uniform in place. There's no,
right.
NCAA isn't a real governing body for this type of thing, so they can't just impart rules because the conferences will go, shut up, we're not going to listen
to you.
Well,
we just saw all states had different things for coronavirus, right? We tried to have one uniform way of doing things, and it ended up being a failure. We didn't have great leadership anywhere. Everything was just kind of a mess, and people. Now, granted, we're working with something brand new with coronavirus, but I don't see how that's any different than college football, where you have a variety of conferences, a variety of regions, a variety of college towns, a variety of potential spikes in different areas. I just am really concerned. The fewer teams you have playing, obviously, the easier it is. You have an entire college football schedule. How in the world, you know, one team could have an impact on the rest of a conference?
And not just the teams, but the places these teams are, or universities are set in, the viewpoint on what the coronavirus is and how dangerous it is,
yeah,
is
it
different across the entire country, whether it be science-based or just, this state is open, so, and we love football, so we're going to do it this way, as opposed to another state going, well, this is kind of dangerous. Football's not that important, so we're not going to do it. College football is probably under the biggest threat, but we had Mark Slaybaugh on earlier. It's also under the biggest threat to tank how many universities if they don't play. So there's that's the motivating factor to make sure games get played.
Yeah. They almost can't not play. because of what it will mean to the athletic programs and potentially many universities, the revenue that's relied upon. So, yep, that's it. Well, John made it most of the way.
He went
further than we expected.
About 10:53 or so.
Yeah, pretty good. Must have had to get there for the 11:15 out to Wildcat. 11:15.
Got the rubber spikes
maybe
on.
Maybe Prime. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all a lie anyway. Water off, power off, bunch of crap.
Coronavirus.
Is he even sick? Is he even sick?
He said he's not. Yet here he is. Last segment, he's not on.
But I'm still caged in. Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!